This is on.
You got me.
I got you. Maybe y'all can hear me, I don't know. But first of all, I'm not Tim Clements. And I'm not worried about being Tim Clements. I don't want to be Tim Clements. God has been working on me lately, and you know, I realize that He works on all of us. We just got to stop and listen. I think that's the problem with a lot of us. We don't stop and listen to Him. He's always beside us, but we got to have that listening ear to hear His voice. And I've slacked over time, off and on, doing it. But last few months, I've been going through a little bit of a change, a little growth spurt, I guess. Not physically, thank goodness. But I just put on my heart, and I'm going to ask three questions before I even go to the scripture. But what it is I'd like to ask you is, what do we desire the most out of life? What do we think about the most in life? And are we content with what we have and who we are? So just kind of ponder that as we go through this. What do we desire the most out of life? What's on our minds the most? And are we content with what we have and who we are? If you go to Ecclesiastes 2. This King Solomon, I'm going to read it, well, most of it, but he's testing life to see if pleasure could provide contentment. He said, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish, and what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of my life, few days of our lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this is the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Like I said, Solomon is testing, he's trying to see what contentment is like. And he had or could have anything he wanted. I mean, you think about that. Anything you wanted, anything your heart desired, he had it or he could get it. Probably in the snap of his fingers, because he had more than any man in Jerusalem ahead of his time. But in we go back and look at verse 10. He said he said his heart took delight in all his work. So he found the pleasure in these things that he had done. But in verse 11, he says, after surveying all he had done, he said it was meaningless, that nothing was gained under the sun, which is here on earth. But in Solomon in his wisdom knew that no matter what we achieve here on earth, that we could never be satisfied. We get what we want, and what happens after that? We just want more again. We just keep wanting. I mean, you can imagine now in hard times, I mean, we're really wanting some, our jobs and everything else. But that's where, it comes in to depend on Him. I'm going to skip over and picking up at 17, says, so I hated life. And I started reading this. We're doing this in Friday morning's prayer vacs here a few weeks ago, but man, I thought Solomon was going to commit suicide the way he's talking sometimes. It's kind of depressing. He said, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving for which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work, and his pain and grief, even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat and find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. To the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Verse 24, he shows that our true satisfaction comes from the hand of God. He says, from the hand of God, for without who can eat or find enjoyment? And in 26, he says, to the man that pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless and chasing after the wind. Chasing after the wind. Anybody ever tried that? I mean, Tim, don't answer. But I mean, physically, how dumb is that, you know? And that's what he's saying. It's pointless. It's a waste of time. And what he's getting to is, you know, without God, all our labor and everything, it's going to come to an end. I mean, we get so worked up and worried about it, and there's no point in that if we're trusting God. He said at the beginning of 26, to a man that pleases him, God gives, you know, the knowledge of wealth. How do we please God? And this is for somebody to answer. We love him in a way that we seek his face every day. We obey his commandments. We do everything that y'all just said. But do we do it? I mean, every day? We got to think about it. Every day. A God, the creator that created everybody. How much time do we give him? You know, Tim has said this a million times. But Tim ain't saying it now. I'm saying it. It's not about me. But, you know, God's put this on my heart. Like I said, he's been working on me. And, you know, do we love him in a way that we try to live for him every day, to glorify him in everything we do? Everything we do. It don't matter. And I'll go into something a little bit later, but he said everything we do. Every earthly pleasure that is not acknowledged as a gift from God is only a temporary fix for our hunger and seeking contentment. We have a constant hunger to be satisfied, whether it's gaining knowledge, power, wealth. Some men seek contentment through hobbies, hunting, fishing, you know, our families. Some people do it through working a lot, getting busy. And I think that's the main worldly thing right now, is the busyness. We don't see it as much here, but go up to New York and see how busy things are. It's like robots up there. And I'm not knocking them, but we're the same way here. It's just more people up there doing it. But, you know, it's something to think about, that, you know, without acknowledging him, it's all pointless. You know, all these things, after we succeed in gaining the pleasure of these things, and they will give us pleasure, but they're temporary. We're just eager to obtain them over and over again, and they're going to be gone over and over again. They're all going to be, it's just a temporary thing, just like this life, this body that we're in. But with God, we find contentment regardless of what we have or don't have. And it's an eternal contentment. It's an eternal joy. We would get discouraged every now and then. But if we are living for God, we'll realize that it's okay that we don't have what we want. There's a difference in our wants and our needs. God knows what we need. Only we put our wants in front of it a lot of times because we're seeking our own views, our own selfish ambitions, I guess. I putting it back on me, and I'm not pointing fingers, but, you know, it was just a few years ago, my biggest thing, mainly, I guess, when I first got married, was I was always wanting to hunt and fish and do that. If I wasn't doing that 2 days a week, I wasn't happy. But now my priorities have changed, and I'm constantly growing in it. I'm not perfect and never will be. But, you know, I remember what it was like. I seek that. And I was not a happy camper. I wasn't ill, but I could just tell that's all that was on my mind. You know, and now, you know, I'm growing spiritually, and I'm trying to get it where everything I do is for Him, every single thing. Go to Ecclesiastes 5:18-20. It says, "Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of his life. During the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot, and to be happy in his work, this is a gift from God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart." You know, Solomon's talking about our labor under the sun, which provides, you know, the things that we have. But if you look at those two verses, everywhere it says God right there, it says life God has given, God gives, it's a gift from God, and God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. You know, what that speaks to me is God gives us life, God gives what we need in life, and God provides us with the enjoyment of life. Do we acknowledge God every day for what He gives? We all know what He gives, but do we respond? I mean, we all know it's from God. You know, I guess most people in here are Christians. I hope. If you're not, we're going to have a Baptist type calling at the end. But, you know, do we acknowledge Him? He gives it to us every day. He even gives us the enjoyment of the things we have. When you enjoy something, God's given that to you. But enjoy it because He gave it to you. Don't enjoy it because it's strictly what you're seeking. Seek whatever, do whatever it is for His glory is what I'm getting at. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's work, hunting, fishing. I took a guy 2 weeks ago, and I wouldn't have done this a year ago or whatever. Like I said, I'm growing, but, you know, I told Tim about this today, or part of it, till our phones went out, but I didn't know where he stood. It's a guy that works out there at the mill, and, you know, I told God, it's going to be 20-something degrees, and while I'm fishing 20-something degrees, don't ask. That morning, I mean, it was going to be cold, and I was like, man, I don't really want to do this, and I almost called him and canceled it, but I said, you know, I'm taking this guy. I said, I want to make this about, you know, where he stands spiritually, not about a day on the water fishing. I mean, I always thank God for the time He gives me in my, you know, in nature. I mean, I love it. But as soon as that guy got in the truck that morning, I asked that his heart be open to conversation, and, man, he started in on me. Like, I was like, man. He said he went to the Lord of the Harvest the day before. He said he really enjoyed it and talked about how he needed to change his life and how he needed to quit cussing, how he needed to be a better daddy and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, God, open this door. And for 45 solid minutes, we talked about God. And I'd never heard God used in that way come out of His mouth. I've heard it in other ways, which you can only imagine. I mean, I work at a steel mill, so Bill knows what I'm talking about. But it was good, though. And, you know, a year or so ago, I wouldn't do that. But that's part of, you know, working to do, not working, but living for His glory in everything we do. It doesn't matter what you do. If it worked, like Tim, you know, he gave an example. Tim didn't have to go speak to that woman. I'm not saying pull over and go talk to every woman that or man that you see in need, but if God lays it on your heart, we're supposed to listen to it. But are we listening? I mean, this is an everyday thing. It's not a, okay, I'll do it when I feel like it thing. But, we get caught up in the things that pleases us, which is not supposed to be about us. But in Philippians 4:12-13, it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Paul's telling us that contentment is only found through Jesus Christ. That's pretty point blank there. Sam, I think, mentioned that verse Sunday. But if we're living for Him, if we are living for Him, then everything else should take care of itself. And I think we flip that. We wait till we're in need to call on Him. Why we got to be in need to call on Him? Why can't we? You know, we should be calling on Him in the good times and bad. It's a consistently thing. It's a constant effort to try to please God. It's about living for Him and not us. And that's where we fall short, because we're not making it about Him. How do we make it about God? Better yet, how do we consistently make it about God? Why do we struggle with discipline? And first, and we're not going to be good enough, but that's why we need Him. But we get complacent or content, whatever word you want to use, in our walk and. There again, we're making it about us. And it should never be about us. He gave us everything. Everything we desire, whether we desire it or not, He put it here. And He's got a reason behind it. But we fail to realize it all the time. And we're going to fall short. I'm not saying that we're not. I fall short all the time. And like I said, I'm not pointing to anybody. I know better than that. But this is just something He's given me. In 1 Timothy 6:10-11, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, the first thing He tells us And this is going back to, you know, how do we make it about God? Well, he says flee from all this, and he's talking about anything to do with sin, temptations, stuff like that. And he says to when he talks about righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, to truly pursue that, we need to be consistent in our walk. And that consistency is a heartfelt need to draw closer to Him. Do we have that? Do we constantly have that desire? I don't, not all the time. But that's what I want. That's what I'm seeking. I want it to be about Him every day. Every single day. You know, the devil's waiting on us to fall short. And we're going to fall short, but he wants us to get complacent in our walk. He wants us to slack. Come in here. He don't want us to be here. He don't want us to be in Friday morning group. He don't want us to be on church on Sundays. So when we go to making reasons why we're not, that's all the more that he's going to put that temptation out there. And if you don't think you can fall into something, into a sin, through some kind of temptation, there's brothers around us that it's happened to. You can just ask them. And I'm talking about serious things. Marriage, you know, lust, anything. And that's why we got to be consistent. And I know I'm not the only one that's not being consistent. But God put that on my heart to show y'all that, you know, I struggle. And I know there's other people that struggle. But why do we struggle? I know we're human and we rely on our flesh more than we do our spirit. But we got to make it about Him. It's got to be about Him, not us. We need to ask God for guidance every day. You know, Tim may like this, but David, you know, he was a man after God's own heart, and he fell short. But where was David when he started lusting after, what was her name, Bathsheba? On the roof. Where was he supposed to be? There's been times where we know where we're supposed to be, but we're somewhere else. If y'all don't think that can happen to you, and I'm not talking about necessarily sleeping with another woman besides your wife, but I'm talking about any kind of sin. You're taking steps further away from God than you are getting closer to Him, drawing closer to Him. As a result of that sin, you know, he had Uriah killed. There's another sin. Then his son came ill. He lost his son. And then what did God tell him? The sword would never depart from you. So he was going to have that result for a while. I mean, for his life. He said it will never depart from you. And that heartfelt desire to draw closer to God, you know, I'm talking, drawing closer to God is this right here. It may not be through me speaking, but all I can do is try to get out of the way and let God do it. But, you know, it's this, and it is that. It is Sunday mornings. It is prayer breakfast. It is Bible school. And I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about an attendance record. I'm not talking about checking off a grocery list. Well, I prayed for so-and-so like I was supposed to. Like I was supposed to. Is that what your heart says, like I'm supposed to? It should be because you love the Lord, not because you're just supposed to. I'm not saying it's going to come natural and it's going to be easy all the time, but if we believe that I don't even know where I'm at now on this, but anyway, I guess that's a good thing. If we believe that God, as mighty as He is, sent His Son down and died on that cross and suffered beyond recognition. The Bible says He got beat bad. It ain't just a cross. He took a whooping, a bad one. If we truly believe that, then we stop and think about that and try to think about it every day. I mean, it's a daily thing. We wake up and make daily decisions every day. But if we truly believe all that, why can't we be consistent in drawing closer to God every day? That's what He wants. He's got us here to help build His kingdom. That's one of the reasons we're here, to love Him and help build His kingdom. So, you know, when we have that desire to, I guess, go home and be lazy, whatever. You know, don't get me wrong, guys. There's reasons why we're not going to show up here or going to do some of the things that draw closer to God. But what are the reasons when we don't do it? Why don't we draw closer to God? You know, we can come up with excuses.
Mike.
It's about we. It's about us.
It's ourselves. I mean, that's our nature. Because all the way back to Adam and Eve, that's our nature. So living for Christ is unnatural for us. I mean, we got to get up and work at it every day.
A lot of times, too, God becomes a God of convenience. And sometimes we don't begin to reach out until something tragic happens, until something in our life changes dramatically. And then we go to reach. We should be reaching every day.
And that's all I'm trying to, I mean, that's what He's put on my heart lately. I know I've said it, but it's a daily walk. It ain't today I feel like I need to go pray for somebody, or I need to be here on Wednesday night, or I need to do this. It's something that we need to prayerfully consider every day. You know, sometimes we get complacent because we are full of joy. We're already happy. What's the point in seeking more of that? We're there. Well, Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens an iron, so one man sharpens another. If we're full of joy, can we use that for an excuse? We shouldn't, because we got other brothers that's relying on us. What if, and I hate bringing up Wednesday night. I don't want to think this is about works. I'm not even going there, and I hope I'm not influencing that by any means, because I'm talking about a heartfelt need to draw closer to God. I'm not talking about works, like I said earlier, about an attendance or anything. But what if there's a brother that is here tonight and somebody else didn't show up? The one person that he may confide in and open his heart up to because he's struggling somewhere, and you didn't show up. It's about that other brother too. It ain't just about us being full all the time. So we're supposed to be there for each other. That's where we sharpen each other. And, you know, what if I skip my quiet time this morning, which I did because, well, I don't know how you look at that, but, you know, and when I skipped it like that, what if that brother, say I did show up here tonight, which I'm here, I guess, but, and that brother wanted to talk to me about something, and at that morning, you know, God may have put a word in my heart to give to him, but I was too lazy to do it. I mean, yeah, we can comfort them, but God can put something, God can give you something that morning strictly for that guy or woman, whoever. I mean, we got to have that open-minded spirit to be open for other people's needs too. It's not about doing these things that I keep bringing up, because that's not what makes us good enough. We're not good enough. We just have a whole lot of blessing that God loves us enough to forgive us for our shortcoming. Well, Bill. Even though you felt that way, you made it about him. And you asked, you called on him to help you through it. Need a shock collar. Give it away. That's that desire.
Yeah.
Right. But you know the word tells you that That's what you need to do. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1, it says, So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Are we doing everything for the glory of God? That's what God put on my heart to try to ask myself every day. Do I do everything for the glory of God? And that sounds like, man, you got to live sometime. Well, who are we living for? Are we living for Him? Are we living for our own satisfaction? Like Solomon, you know, he tested those waters. He'd already proved that that's pointless. That's chasing after the wind like Tim does. Literally is what I'm speaking, not. But it's a waste of time. Like I said earlier, you know, one of the main reasons we're here is to build his kingdom. How can we do that if we're not in His Word or witnessing to others? And through that witness, you know, we can sit here and say, man, that men's group sure is good. God's all over them. God's all over Tim. He's bringing it every Wednesday. And then we get that guy coming and we don't show up for the next 4 or 5 times. Is that a true witness? Yeah, we got him here. That's a great thing. But where are we at? I mean, we still need to be here. We need to support that guy that you got here, even if you're full of joy. Even if you're just, you can't get no more of him. It's not just about us. It can be about us a lot of times. We make it about, well, I'm going to go tonight because I'm in need. What about our brother in need? I mean, it's going to be the last one that I read. Philippians 3:10 through 17. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have I already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. You know, it uses the word pressing and straining. You know, that, like I said earlier, that automatically tells us it's not going to be easy. But, you know, sometimes we press and strain, and we may, you know, get full of that joy, I keep saying, and then we back off. When we back off, we're making it about us again. It's not about us, it's about Him. That's what God's been beating in my head lately, to make it about Him. I know, you know, sometimes it's hard to get up in the mornings. I'm not a morning person at all, but I'm pressing and straining through it right now. I'm trying my best because I'm seeking more of Him. And we got to press and strain every day, not weekly, monthly, to draw closer to Him. And this is our Creator that we're taking a break from when everything's good, when we get content or complacent in our spiritual walk. It's our Creator. Do we know how big He is? You ever thought about how big God is? We try to put Him in a box. There ain't no box big enough for God. But in our minds, we put Him in there. We make it about ourselves over and over again. I've done this. But I'm saying we because I know I'm not the only one. Because every one of you, as far as I know, is human too. As far as I can tell. Where's he at? Oh. You know, Jesus said, follow me. I think it was Matthew, Levi. He didn't say, follow me when you feel like it. He said, follow me. I think we follow Him when we feel like it, way too often. I'm reading a book, and Scott Gibson's been passing them out to a lot of people, but it's that good. It's worth the $14 or whatever it is. I'm not sure, but I'm fixing to start buying them for people myself. I'm only through chapter 3, but it's convicting. And he talks about being lukewarm. That's the word I try not to use tonight because people want to clam up and shut their ears. But that's basically what I've been talking about, is being lukewarm. One of the things I was going to quote in here, it says, and he's talking about, before what I'm reading, he's talking about where we are in our lives. Are we're on that high, or we're on that low, we're in need, we're in want, everything's good, I'm good, don't worry about me. He says, to be brutally honest, it doesn't really matter what place you find yourself in right now. Your part is to bring Him glory, whether eating a sandwich on a lunch break, drinking coffee at 12:04 a.m. so you can stay awake to study, or watching your four-month-old take a nap. The point of your life is to point to Him. Whatever you are doing, God wants to be glorified because this whole thing is His. It's His world and His gift. I got thinking about it. You know, I guess most of you know me. There's some in here that don't, but I've got two small little girls that I can't even tell you how much I love them. I'm not even going to try. One of them's fixing to be 2. The other one will be 4 in August. But, you know, I got thinking about it, and as much as I love them, God loves me more than that. And that's hard for me to imagine. I can't put it in. You can't put that in words. Because I know where I'm at with my children. But what if, you know, and some of you may have teenagers, you may have already experienced this, but I'm speaking of younger children. What if your kids didn't want to have nothing to do with you? You didn't get hugs and kisses. You didn't get I love yous. You know, I love them. I tell them I love them. And I spend quality time with them over and over again. It's just, that's what you do when you love somebody. But what I'm getting at is, if we love God the way we talk, are we going to tell Him we love Him? Are we going to spend quality time with Him? A constant quality time? That's what we do. You know, if your kids... just kind of, I'm all right. I don't need you, Dad. I don't need your, you know. You might get a small talk every now and then. A little quick chat. Hey, I'm good. Let's go. That's what we're doing to our Savior when we get complacent. And all I'm saying is, to sum it up, is we don't need to be complacent in our spiritual walk. And I say complacent as in drawing closer to Him every day. We need to make it an everyday thing. I fall short, guys, but I'll admit it. I'll probably be saying the same thing tomorrow. But I'm going to press and strain forward. I'm going to keep looking His direction. And He's getting me better because He's working on me. Because I sure wouldn't be standing up here spitting and stuttering and...